Somebody's got a fever.
I got the fever.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for listening. We are Uncensored Radio. We are your guilty of pleasure, and you know me. I am Karen Ashley, and I've got my dynamic duo partner on the radio with me. It's Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Jeffrey?
Hey.
Somebody's got a favorite. You know what? We need to have Blake Foster on the show immediately to explain himself because Jeffrey has 101 fever, and the only thing that we can say is, you know, maybe he got some of that bison swine flu plague that was going on.
It's horrible.
He
What's messed up?
Yeah, you were feeling bad on like Saturday, and you kind of were like, "Oh, I'm gonna fight it. I'm all right. I'm just tired." And here you are. 101 degree fever. What's up with that?
I don't know, but it's bull. Like, so I slept. Like, the kids all left early. Like, they were all gone by, like, just after 4. So I immediately went to bed and slept until after 7. And then I was like, all right, I got to pull myself together for this radio show. When really all I want to do is go die in a corner. And frankly, I'm going to whoop Blake's ass next time I see him. And then he could tell all his friends he got his ass whooped by a homosexual.
Not a homosexual.
And what's so messed up is that Catherine, we were walking over to him or whatever, I think it was when you guys took the group photo. And I was like, I ain't touching this motherfucker. And she was like, oh, that's not very nice. Bitch, no, I'm sick, girl. She didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
I need to tell her. She was texting me earlier. We were texting about some stuff. But I have to tell her. I'm really like, yeah, now Jeff's sick with the Blake Walter plague. That's what we're going to name it.
I'm holding everything down, though. So that's so far so good.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they were straight up regurgitating. Like, you know, just in awful, awful pain. You may just have the fever part. And it could be, I'm still telling you, you might not even have what they had. You very well could have, you know, the all-famous, you know, convention hangover. It is what happens, you know, when people go to conventions. You don't realize the energy you exude, and you stay up late, and you get up early, and you stay up late, and you get up early, and you drink alcohol, you eat crappy food, because there's no other place to eat but, like, fast food or the hotel food, or it's just like, you don't have any choices. So it's like, you come back, and you just don't feel good.
Well, girl, I'm going to tell you what. I can't even tell you the last time I had me a temperature. So this is just fresh. And I don't know, like, you know, I'm not tossing my cookies like Blake and Walter, but I'm still going to blame Blake. It's all his fault. I'm not sure really how, but it's his fault, that son of a bitch.
Right. We'll just blame him. He'll take it. He's a grown man. He can take the heat. You know what? And I have to tell people, they have been emailing me, Facebooking me, tweeting me about this big secret guest that's supposed to be at Lexington next year. I actually talked to Jared, who is the convention organizer. He is the man. Him and Jamie, they are the man, they are the woman that put on Lexington. There is no other people that make decisions. He told me to inform everybody that it's all rumors. Like, I don't know where it came from, but he's like, you know, we've just begun on you know, getting people who came this year confirmed, and we don't really have very many confirmations. So I don't know who the secret guest is. There's no secret. There's no surprise person that's confirmed. So it was all, I think it's all just hope. I think it's people are getting excited because the convention went so well this year. They're excited for next year. They know that Jamie and they know that Jared are going to do even 10 times better than what it was this year, and they know that it's going to be fantastic. So I think it's just excitement getting the best of people. But don't email me and don't tweet me because I don't know. I'm a part of the rumor mill just like you. I can sit here and make up a long list of people that are going to be there. Michael Jackson. I mean, I could really just go there and just see who all bites. I mean, you know, Tupac is going to be there. I don't know who's going to be at Lexington next year. Elvis Presley, I don't know. You know, so don't Facebook or email me because I have no clue who's going to be there. But you know what exciting news that we do know about? Do you know, Jeffrey?
Wait, what? Run that by me one more time.
Exciting news. Do you know what exciting news that we do know about for sure?
I feel like I should know, but...
Yeah, there's a new Uncensored Radio show that's starting today.
Oh, yes, there is, and it's going to be fantastic.
Why don't you tell the people about it, since it slipped your mind again.
Okay. So tonight is the premiere of Title Pending. Yes, you heard me right. The title of the show is called Title Pending, and it's hosted by Eazy-E, Ethan, and some, I think it's a rotating crew. I'm not really for certain yet.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited.
I am too, because I love the fact that that there's going to be rotating hosts. So you never know who's going to be co-hosting with Eazy-E, but you always know Mr. Eazy-E is going to be in the house. And that's exciting. He used to be a part of our show. He used to be one of our interns. Now he's doing his own thing. We're very excited for him. And it's going to be just a huge discussion. I mean, I think it's going to be like, you know, even more in-depth than us, because you know us. We can't get that deep. We'll start drowning. But it's going to be amazing. And it premieres tonight, and we're so excited for Eazy-E. So please, just continue to listen. Once we go off, it's just going to go right into the show. So we're very excited for him. We want to make sure that you guys know it's first. And, yeah, title pending. Maybe you guys can submit some potential titles. You know?
No, I think that's the title he wanted, was Title Pending, because that shit's funny.
Well, you know what's funny about it is because that means that show can be about anything. It can be about, there's no parameter. You know, we almost have
right.
to stay in center.
Girl, you are cutting out something
show.
Fair.
Am I? Oh,
yeah,
no.
I think you need to check your vagina or something.
What? What does my vagina have to do with this?
Girl, your uterus is making noise all up on the phone.
Dang it. Well, I don't know why. Do I sound better
now?
Oh, now
it's better.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Nope,
do
back again.
Do you have a live show? Oh, back again. It's a live show. What can you do?
Oh, Gert, I'm telling you what.
I know. Katie, be ready. Give us a drop out. Be ready, Katie. Katie is running the phone for us tonight. But there were a lot of people who were upset because they didn't get to get on. They didn't get to tell us their stories about Lexington. So if you have some stories about Lexington that you did not get to share, we'll quickly get to them. We'll quickly get to them at the start of the show. We'll take a couple calls in the beginning. But we've got like some interesting stuff to discuss today. Did you hear about Lindsay going back to? Well, she's not going to jail. She kind of got off again, and
well,
it kind of made me mad. You know, kind of made me mad because she was a half hour late to court. You know, she decided she was in New York. She says New York is her home now. And she could have gotten here in time. She obviously knew when her court date was. But she decided to stay for a concert and fly out first thing in the morning. Well, of course, she arrived half an hour late. And even arriving half an hour late and disrespecting the court, Lindsay Lohan got sentenced to rehab, but lockdown rehab. And so they're
like, I just don't understand.
I don't
like,
either.
It's such
it's,
bullshit.
We'd be under
if
the
it was,
jail.
If it was Katrina Johnson, that bitch would be in jail.
Mm-hmm. If it was Karen Ashley, this bitch would be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we wouldn't get no special privileges. We would be
right.
in jail. It's, they said she released, like, they released her mugshot today. It's her sixth mugshot, Jeffrey.
Oh, it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
So, this is the thing, though. She took a plea deal, And, you know, I think she thinks, oh, rehab, I'll do it again. This is like her fifth time in rehab, so she's been a million times. And so she doesn't really realize, like, you're not going to be able to leave. You've got to go to bed by a certain time. It's like, you know, it's pretty rough. They say, you know, lockdown rehab is pretty rough stuff. It's not like celebrity rehab where you can get an attitude and run out of there at any point.
It's crazy. Like, the fact that this bitch can keep getting away with all this stuff, like, it's just...
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Like, she straight up lied to the police this time. Like, I'm just kind of like, I thought if you lie to the police, you go straight to jail. Like, you can't go, don't get collect $200, and you go straight to jail.
She needs to. She's
yeah,
a hussy.
Yeah, she's pretty bad. Like, it's pretty bad. But
like, I think,
you know,
we should have a regular person go to L.A., do all the things she's done, and let's see what happens to them.
Right. I know. It's like one of those things where I wish that could happen, but you could go, okay, just kidding, because they would be under the jail for like 10 years, and then I'd feel really bad for them.
Well, no, the thing is, though, we could get them out because it'd be a public uproar, because it's okay for Lindsay Lohan to do all this stuff and get away with it, but because some Joe Schmo did it, you're going to put him in jail? Like, maybe we could change our justice system, Kurt.
You know, who could be the dumbass to do our test project? Any takers?
I think Katrina.
Katrina Johnson?
Yeah.
She was on vacation again tonight. You know, she hasn't been here. She's got a lot going on right now, so we hope she's laying in the sun and drinking a martini. That's what I hope.
That bitch. I say that with love.
What kind of love is that? What's love got to do with it, Jeffrey?
What's love got to... Oh, my gosh. I don't know why that just reminded me. Did you ever get the video I emailed you of me singing in the car?
I did, but I couldn't open it, so I don't have to go back and listen to it when I can.
Oh,
open
no,
it.
Girl, please don't, because I never listened to it. You know, I just was driving and doing horrible things and taking a video of me singing that song that we like without Ashanti and being that wise ass that I am. And I went back and listened to it, and you can hear me, and I sound like a dying animal. Like, it's so bad. Like, I didn't realize I was trying to sing really softly. And it wasn't working out, girl. It's so
rude. Were
you
the lion or the llama? Which one?
What?
Were you the lion or the llama?
Girl, I think it was a combination of both. It was so fresh.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? You've never claimed to be like a singer, so, I mean, it's not like I would be expecting.
No, I can't hit a note to save my life. And then once in a blue moon, I'll actually... I'll hit one once in a while and be shocked. Like, did I just do that?
What, was that me? What was that me? What the hell?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Like,
oh,
did I really
fair.
Do that, girl? Ooh, fabulous. But, you know, on the way home from Lexington, I was jamming out in the car doing videos, too. Because, you know, I just ain't got shit better to do, and I'm trying to stay awake and, you know, not be a safe driver. Because that's how I roll.
Right. Yeah, no.
Don't do
what
I do, kids.
Don't do as he says. Just laugh at him. Don't do
that's
what he says. Right. No, when I'm in a car on a road trip, it's like, if you're with me in a car on a road trip, it's a known fact that you're going to get a concert. It's going to be at least, you know, full voice, straight up, like, I'm going to give it to you. So you better be ready. Like, don't even complain, because we're going to, if I'm driving, I get to pick the songs that we're listening to, because I'm the driver, and the driver is in control. That's what I think.
I agree with you completely, and what's funny is, actually, I enjoy riding with you, because you like to have your music loud, and you're singing and enjoying your damn self, and that's how I do. Like, when I'm in the car by myself, that radio is damn near up as loud as it can go, and I'm just singing my ass off like I got business. Okay. Or sometimes I don't have business. So, Katie, hello, you, boo-boo? No, not so much. But, so, yeah, I cannot hit a note. But Miss Ashley, I'm going to tell y'all a little secret about her. When we was in L.A. filming the reality shows there, that bitch can sing, and she, I don't know why she's not singing for her meals, because she actually got some pipes on her, and
she
we were singing.
All girl group?
What?
Wasn't she in a girl group back in the day?
Yeah, yeah, people, I don't know how many people really know, but Karen was in a girl group called Crush before Power Rangers, and they were on the Mo Money soundtrack singing,
wow.
Everybody get together. I can't even try.
Yeah,
no,
I see,
just,
look at you, talking shit behind my back. I see how you
are. I was just talking how you really do give a concert in the car, and it's actually fabulous, and how you got a set of pipes, and I don't know why you ain't singing for our supper.
Karen, I couldn't even imagine doing acting. What was that?
Did you all have, like, a dance routine for that song? Did you guys do any live shows? What was that about?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to YouTube and you'll see our video. We had a full-on video. We had the whole shebang.
And it's so amazing.
YouTube me, people. YouTube me. YouTube me. That's the day.
You got to see the outfits, and the hair is just outrageous. Like, it kind of looked a little bit like TLC.
I'm
yeah,
so jealous.
We were glamorous. Very glamorous. Mm. We actually were very, like, we were full-on dancers. Like, that's why when I got a Power Rangers, it was very easy for me to dance and kick, and you'll see the kind of dancing we were doing. We were high-energy dance steps. So, yeah. I can't even imagine, like, singing. Like, in front of a live audience now. It's been that long. Like, I saw some of my girls, some of the crush girls, I saw them recently, and they always joke. One of them, she jokes all the time. Like, I know it's like one of those jokes where if I gave her the look, like, let's do it, she'd be so down, and she always jokes and says, oh, we're going to put the group back together. Oh, we're going to put the group, we need to do a song, or we need a hit. We need to go ahead and just, you know. And I always just like, whatever. But if I gave her the look, I know for a fact she'd have rehearsal time set up the very next day.
You're so funny. Like, you are a little stubborn, I have to say. Like, I mean,
and
girl, go give it a whirl. What you got to lose? I'm sure James could pen you a hit.
Reunion tour.
I just can't even imagine doing it. That's, like, so far. Like, that was, like, 5 lifetimes ago. Like, I feel like Power Rangers was so many lifetimes ago. So can you imagine Crush was even more lifetimes ago?
That's true.
Like, so much has happened since then that I just can't imagine singing from my supper.
And, you know, speaking of that damn show you were on, I lost that situation I told you about this morning. By the time that girl got off that school bus, I didn't care. I was tired. I didn't feel good. I was like, you could watch whatever the hell you want to watch.
She just hates it when his daycare kids want to watch the Power Rangers. He's only had to watch it a million and one times with them.
Like, it's, you know, like, it's my own fault, though, because I told them, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy, but it's even worse, though, when Joe wants to watch it. Like, that's what really trips me out. Like, bitch.
I got your husband, too. Didn't you know that?
Mm-hmm. But it's always funny, though. Like, I watch it and just look for little, like, screw-ups or, you know, like, at this point, like, I could probably recite the damn thing, so I just look for interesting things.
You've seen it more than I have. I will say that.
I mean, and the thing is, though, truly, it's not a horrible movie by any means. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's entertaining, but not the millionth time. Like, you know, fuck.
Right. No, I will give them kudos because they specifically made the movie so that parents wouldn't have to cringe while they sat through it.
Yeah,
they
like, they ramped it up.
Too.
You guys were, I thought, on point. Like, they were, like, I loved in the one panel or whatever, Jason was like, they were, like, talking about the Power Ranger movie Drinking Game.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember what they...
Did you know there's a Power Ranger Drinking Game?
Yeah, I don't remember what they said to drink at, but then Jason was like, how about drink every time there's bad acting? I was like, oh!
You just don't drink the whole time.
No, it really, I don't think it was that bad. Like, I mean,
yeah.
You guys were playing, like, fucking superheroes, you know? Like,
we
mean,
were teenagers. We were
yeah.
Teenagers ourselves, pretty much.
Like, in the show, like, they treated you guys like shit. There wasn't really, you know, like, I think you guys brought it. Like, whatever.
I think, but you know what? The movie, 20th Century Fox treated us like kings and queens. They treated us very well. You know, we got anything we wanted. everything we asked for. They had us in beautiful hotels, beautiful apartments. Like, once the movie kind of really started stretching out, they moved us to, like, these apartment hotel kind of places. It was fabulous. They flew out our friends at one point because we'd been there for so long, and they felt horrible for us, and they knew we weren't going to be able to go home for really, like, for the holidays for very long, so they said, why don't you fly out two of your friends, and we'll pay for it. I mean, they treated us really good. 20th Century Fox treated us great. So going back to the show, and we were, like, back to the bottom of the barrel, it was a hard, that was when I really was, like, figuring out, like, wow, this is not as fun as it used to be. Dang it, we got a taste of the good life.
It's so funny. Well, and you know, like, you guys have talked about things, like, in the movie, like, you were, I don't even think we were in a panel, I think we were just talking with Catherine about, like, the skating scene or whatever the hell, so I was, like, watching for all that, you know, like, but it could be any movie, like, I'm all about that kind of shit.
Oh, okay, when we were rollerblading, you mean?
Yeah, like, and you know, that person was in the back.
Oh, right, yeah. So, that's what, I mean, yeah, it's, like, so many little things that happen that, I mean, yeah, you could sit there and dissect the movie, but if you haven't already played the Power Ranger drinking game, if you are of legal age, I think it was like every time he was like, wasn't it like every time he was like, let's do it, or something like that? Tommy said something like, let's go, or I forget what it was, but you had to take a drink, and it's like 117 shots. It's a vicious game. You must be of legal drinking age. Man, we one day have to play that game. I'll play with water.
No, bitch, we're doing shots. If we're going to sit through that again, and I'm going to sit through it with you, it's just going to be awkward.
Well, I'm not sitting through the movie. I can count on one hand how many times I've seen the movie, and I don't want to go above that.
Is that because you hate watching yourself, or you just hate the movie?
I just feel like I was there, been there, done that.
Right.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I can't watch it to enjoy it. I watch it to analyze it. And it's like, you know, I don't know. So for me, it's like I'm analyzing everything. Maybe now I could probably watch it to enjoy it because I really can say I've only watched it maybe three times. So I really don't know the movie that well. Like, I can't remember things. Like, you know, people will mention, like, certain lines to me, and for the longest, I didn't know what they were talking about, and then I was like, oh, I said that in the movie.
Well, I think it's trippy for me, like, knowing you now and, like, seeing you back then. It's just, like, it's two different people. I mean, though, for all of you that I've met, you know, it's like, I don't know. It really was, like, from an outsider, like, a past lifetime ago. It's trippy.
Right, for sure. For sure. It's definitely trippy. Definitely trippy. So, this is the thing. We actually got a topic that we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we met our Power Ranger quota for the month. Okay,
yeah,
let's move on.
We've done it. Been there, done that. You know what? So, we are going to be having Rangers on starting in April. We're going to start having people on. Maybe we'll do a Ranger a month. Or a Ranger every 2 weeks. I don't know, because I know everyone really enjoys it. So because we've got such a huge Power Ranger following, we'll definitely, you know, make sure that we get you guys some great people. We'll get to hear their stories, figure out what they're doing now. And if you haven't been able to make it to the conventions, it's really cool because you really get a good insight on who they are as people, not just their character. But tonight, I ran across some hilarious stories online. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Monday, Tiger Woods, who's typically a pretty private person, other than the big scandal where he was, like, having sex with, like, 80 women. I don't know how many. I think I'm I said how many women came out going, oh, yeah, I was with Tiger. Oh, yeah, I was with Tiger. Oh, yeah, I cheated on him. I cheated with him. Oh, yeah. You know, like, it was just a debacle. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who had such a pristine, like, kind of image, like, fall from grace so hard. Like, it was a debacle. Like, he was just, like, I don't know, was he a sex addict? Did we ever figure out if he was addicted to sex? Or,
well, clearly. I mean, I don't think we need a fucking doctor's note about that. Like, dude's got a sexual addiction problem. He was sticking it in anything that he could. Like, it didn't even matter if it was fruit or whatever. Like, he was just putting it in.
Well, one thing I will say, they were all blonde. They were all blonde. They were all kind of like, the kid's wife was like clean and pure and precious. And like all these girls were like waitresses at, you know, casinos. And like they were all kind of, you know, just, I don't know. It just seemed like they were all kind of in it to win it. And they all kind of got, they all got their 15 minutes of fame. So being that he's so private, it was shocking. This Monday, he released photos, not one, not two, but like three different photos. And he also announced that him and Olympic gold medalist Lindsey Vonn are dating. And like the pictures are what's the funny part, because did you see the pictures, Jeffrey, didn't you?
No, but I'm about to look it up.
I'll send us a damn email. I don't write these emails for my house. I write it so that you can do your studying.
Girl, I didn't get an email with pictures.
You should. It's the links. I put the links on there, and all you got to do is click on the link, and it opens up the stories, and the pictures are there.
Oh.
Did you click on the links? No, obviously. Obviously, someone didn't do their homework. Obviously, someone showed up to the show and isn't prepared.
Okay, so wait.
Just make sure the bunch of radio listeners wait. We're going to wait for
okay,
Jeffrey to
get together. Okay, she looks like, well, she looks like she likes it in the dookie shoot.
Oh, no. She's kind of manly, but I'm thinking it's because she's
kinda?
A... She's
got a fucking jawline like a drag queen. I say that with love. I mean, I really do.
Oh no! But I think that the reason is because she's like an Olympic athlete, so she probably works out harder than he does. She's a skier. She might be on the roids. I don't know.
She's probably tapping him in the carcass. That's what's up. Like, and he's looking old. Like,
I
just haven't paid attention to him. Like, he is looking.
I think the scandal wore him down.
Yeah, like he's looking old, and I'm kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, she's very attractive. She's got a very pretty face, but she's just got a jawline that don't quit.
I don't think she's very attractive. I just thought she was a plain Janer. But one thing I will say. What?
Nothing. Move on.
Oh, gosh. It was about to be inappropriate. I can feel it. I can feel it. Oh, man. Okay,
it's not my fault. I'm delirious.
I know. I'm delirious, too. I'm, like, half asleep, and I have two coffees, a Starbucks, and a Diet Coke today, and I'm still sleepy. Like, I my eyes are blinking heavily. I know. He is, oh, yeah, I had Starbucks. Yum.
Get some my ass.
They don't have Starbucks, by the way, in Auburn, New York. It's 30 minutes away. So Jeffrey cannot have Starbucks. He has to have Dunkin' Donuts. Boo.
No, I don't drink that. I go to Tim Hortons. But I'm telling you right now, we hit it big and we make some dough. The first thing I'm investing in is I'm getting a Starbucks put into my house.
Why don't you put one on your street corner so then you can serve the people?
Because I don't really care about the people. This is about me and my Frappuccino problem.
Damn it. Okay, so anyways, you know, Tiger is usually pretty private. Oh, and you know how you mentioned how he looks a little old? I think I'd look old, too, if I had to write my ex-wife a $100 million check.
Yeah, but
you know
how much does he have?
Like that.
What's he got?
You know, well, he might have three. Just say you got $300 million, and you had to write $100 million. She didn't do nothing to earn that money. He's the one hitting all the golf balls.
Yeah, she did. She probably got, like, look, I'm saying, he slept with those women.
I agree. He needed to pay her for all the pouncing he was doing. He needed to pay her.
And how long were they together? Were they together before his career or after?
They've been together for a while. I don't know how long they were married, but they were together for a minute. But this is the thing. They got two kids. He disrespected his family and disrespected his wife. And he had sex with so many women, he could have brought home a disease. We don't even know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And, like, you know, it was like, what's that bitch's name? Michelle Tannenbaum? I don't know. She was in, like, Harriet the Spy, that girl actress. She's on Gossip Girl or something. She was on Kathy last week. And, like, she, like, Kathy asked her about a fight she got into with, like, Ashley Simpson or whatever. And she's like, I'm not going to say anything because she's got kids. And, frankly, in 10 years from now, her kid could be online and read that I said something horrible about their parent. I'm just not going to do
that.
And I thought that was kind of amazing. Yeah, and which makes me think about this. Like, at no point did he think about his kids or his wife. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
His kids, anytime that they're like, well, who's your dad? And they tell him, like, they're going to get fucking ripped on for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And the reality is that it's, can you imagine he's got a daughter and he's got a son? And you're right. Like, one day they're going to pick up a paper. Oh, they're just going to know about it. It's going to be grade school, and they're going to make jokes. Kids are evil. Kids are mean. And here you put these children in harm's way. And it's like, you didn't have one affair. You had, like, 18 affairs. Like, it's like, God dang, what's wrong with you?
Right. I'm like, what is he teaching his son? Like, are you kidding me?
I don't know. Like, it's
like,
pretty damn bad.
So it's okay for me to go sleep with 80 women while I'm married because my dad did it. Like, I just think people, like, it kind of blows my mind that you want to be parents, but then, you know, lead by example.
Right. Because to me, it's like you really got to get to a place in your life where you're ready for it. You're ready to teach children. Like, you become the teacher. Who else is going to teach your kid? Who else is going to teach your kid not to be an asshole baby? You. You got to teach your kid. Like, you got to teach your kid to be respectable, honest, you know, hardworking adults. You've got to make them into that. They're not just going to become that. The teacher at school, that's not their responsibility. It's not the child care provider, Jeffrey Emmett's responsibility. Because Lord knows they're going to learn how to roll their eyes and snap their finger.
Oh!
With love. I say that with love. I'm just taking
whatever.
The weight
of the world.
It's fine.
I ain't trying to watch
you.
Your movies anyways.
I know. You ain't going to watch my baby. Anyways, this is the thing. But get this. So, my question is this. Knowing that this man cheated as badly as he cheated, knowing that this man obviously has a problem, I don't know that he went to rehab, that he went to counseling. I don't know what this man did to rectify his situation. But Lindsay Vonn, if you look at her, she seems like a smart girl. Like you said, she's, other than the jawline, she's a pretty attractive woman. She can probably date whomever she wants, right? Why is she dating Tiger Woods is the question.
Here's the thing with that. That's part of the problem. Like, you know what this man's history is because America knows, the world knows what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of harsh, but I feel like, are you that much of a stupid bitch? That you're, I mean, you know, I tried to say it as delicately as is my nature. But here's the thing, like, are you kidding? Like, I'm sorry, but it always blows my mind. Like, I have friends, I won't name any names, that have been married, been married, left their relationship for somebody else who was married, and then they wonder why there's no trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, well, let me raise my hand in the back here and be like, let me tell you something. Like, it's just ignorant to me, and I feel like this chick, it's probably going to happen to her, because when you have sex with that many women, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not sure that he's changing. Like, he, you know, and I really wouldn't keep watermelon or grapefruit in the house either, to be frank.
Even Katie's laughing.
I'm going to go into that.
My thought is this. Do men like that change? Do they change?
No. I don't think so.
Do they not? Do they become all of a sudden a one-woman kind of guy?
I don't see how it's possible.
Do you learn your lesson when you write a $100 million check?
It's like this. You know, I feel like it's kind of like a heroin addict or an alcoholic. Once you're an alcoholic or a heroin addict, you are always an alcoholic or heroin addict. And I don't know that he is going to have the strength inside of him to not do it again. Like, if you did that to your wife and kids, like, what's this girlfriend got? Like, unless she's got, like, a power vagina, You know.
Well, she might. She won an Olympic gold medal. Maybe her vagina is, like, pretty powerful.
Right? Like, I
she
wonder,
might have
like.
A powerful vagina.
I mean, I guess if she's putting out, like, you know, 15 times a day, like, she might be able to keep them entertained for a while.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I think she's doomed. I think it's going to happen again. Like, I really do. Because I don't know that he's ever really showed all that much remorse for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well,
I think he said what he had
thought,
to say.
Right, right. Because I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was losing sponsorship. He was, like, disgraced. Like, people were like, I don't want to play with him, and I don't want to, you
Which
know.
I don't even really understand.
I don't either. I didn't understand that part. Like,
it has nothing to do with his ability to do his job.
Golf.
Like, that's
right.
his personal life.
He's
and
an
I'm
asshole
sorry.
Of a man. He's
right.
a sucker. But he's a horrible husband, maybe possibly a horrible father. But.
I mean, I can understand the sponsor. But.
Right, right. Like, maybe a sponsor doesn't want to go, oh, I'm going to have this, you know, adulterer. I'm going to have him as my spokesman. Like, yeah, that's
right.
kind of, But, like, the other golf guys, you know, like, I don't understand why they didn't want to work with him. Like, I know a lot of them have had affairs. Like, come on.
Right?
You know? Like, let's not creep into your closet. But my thought is this. Like, you know this guy is kind of a cheater. Well, he is a cheater. Not kind of. You know this guy, you know... It may or may not work. Like, high-profile relationships are so iffy. Like, I think they got a 1 in a million chance to actually make it. So you know all these things. Why are you going to announce it on Facebook?
Because she's making him so that the world knows that that's her stranger wood.
This is my boo?
She's
her boo.
She's claiming that man junk. She wants bitches to know... This is my pinochle, and you can't have it. But the funny thing is, watch. Somebody's going to come out of the woodwork in the next month or so and be like,
I was
bopping with him, like, 3 weeks ago.
I had that pinochle last week, girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't that, like, a whole big thing about him dressing in women's clothing, too, and maybe being bisexual? Wasn't that a whole big thing, too?
No,
or I thinking of somebody
that
else?
You might be thinking of somebody else. I don't remember that part, but I do remember it was just a debacle. Like, he had friends that were buying plane tickets that were doing, I mean, they were going to great lengths to keep, like, they pretty much, he had a whole staff of people that just flew out his hose and kept his hose in rotation.
And do you think they're still employed?
Well, they were his friends. Like, they were his childhood buddies. They're his friends. I'm sure they are. Like, I'm sure they're still friends. You're not going to get rid of your homeboy from 82.
Mm.
You know?
This
it's just
true.
What it was. Like, it just became one of those situations. Like, let's say, you know, I mean, it's just like something scandalous went down between us. I ain't going to get rid of you. Like, we're just going to have to just get past it. We're just going to have to pick up the pieces. And get the Uncensored Radio family to be the cleanup crew. I don't know. Like, you just get past situations, especially if there's a lot of history involved. Yeah, so, but my thought, this is the other thing. Like, today he released a statement. He actually was, he's in the middle of a, you know, starting the tournament or whatever, and he released a statement and said the reason that they released the pictures, if you haven't seen these pictures, you've got to see the pictures because it's, like, funny because she's looking at him, like, so lovingly, and, like, she's in a daze. Like, she's so gone. He must have a golden plate. He must have a gold pinochle. I really think that he's got the pinochle of steel. I really do.
He's probably packing a
10-incher. It's like, she's gone. She's in love. She's worked. She's a putting
it's so
on
funny
her.
Is he looks like he's looking at the camera lady, like, yo, what you doing? How
right,
you doing?
And she's looking at him like, yo, I got Tiger. I got Tiger Woods. This is my
I'm not really sure that's a catch. Now, I'm saying, if it's a business arrangement, like, maybe he's trying to save his image, get back to business. Like, I mean, you know, making
so.
A business arrangement. Like, you getting
no.
paid to let him screw who he wants, and it ain't none of your business.
I don't think so. I don't think so. No, like, they claimed it. They claimed it on the highest mountain. They got on Facebook. Like, there's a lot of people that have Facebook. They put it out there. So this is the thing. They shouted from the mountaintop, I'm telling you. So this is the thing. He said the reason he did it this way, because the paparazzi were on their tail, and the paparazzi were pretty much figuring out that they were dating. And so they put out the pictures first so that the first picture of them together wouldn't, you know, they kind of take, because like now if a paparazzi takes a picture of them, oh, that's all new. We've already seen them together. We've already seen them looking at each other lovingly. We already know they're dating. So he basically, you know, somebody would have made a lot of money with, of a picture of them holding hands or something.
Well, I mean, that's kind of shitty, too. Like, why you got to take a bitch's income? Like, they're just trying to get paid. Like, I would be that asshole to be like, all right, come here, dude. I know you got to feed your babies. Come here. Let me get you a good picture.
Well, the picture they need to get now is with him with another chick to expose his cheating ways, because I really think he is going to cheat on her real soon. I mean, I hate to put it out there, Lindsay. I don't mean to wish you bad luck, but you picked a doozy. She didn't pick like somebody that was like worth her trust. I think like I'm kind of like, ah, you know.
Mhm.
It's crazy. So I mean, that's the question at hand. Are cheaters just cheaters? I mean, is that just what it is? What does the peanut gallery think?
I think you can change from cheating, but when you're on that kind of a level where you're just boffing everything that moves, I think that's a whole nother playing field from, like, having an affair.
Right.
And
I also think it depends, when you're really rich.
Like, is it an emotional affair? Is it purely sexual? You know, I think those things matter. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, and I think you have to weigh each option. Because I think there's a difference. I'm not saying it's right, but I think there's a fine difference, you know? Like, would you rather have somebody who just had sex with somebody else once because, you know, they were just whatever, or what's worse, having them be intimate with the person, you know? Like, I feel like that makes a difference.
Right. I wonder, does it make a difference if, like, he pounced, like, 18 girls or whatever it was, but he wasn't really, like, having a long-term affair with one woman. Like, I think if it's, like, one woman and you've been with her for 5 years, and it's like, you and this woman really got something going. Where, I mean, not to say what Tiger did was right, but he could really rest on the fact that he was like, I was just having sex with them. Like, I just needed sex. I just needed sex. It meant nothing. I didn't love them. I didn't care. I mean, it was just sex.
Right.
Like, I mean, is there a, I mean, it's all bad, but is there a difference? Like, if it was just sex, or if it's like a long, meaningful relationship where you are truly connected to this person. Why do people have the loudest motorcycles and they all want to drive next to me every day?
I didn't even hear it.
Oh, man, I did. It shook my whole car. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. I wonder. I would love to hear some callers. I would love to hear their thoughts on the whole thing, because it's just, I don't know, I couldn't be in a relationship with a guy like that. I'd scratch his eyes out every time he looked at somebody.
Ooh.
Every time he was late, I'd have to Power Ranger pimp slap him.
Yeah, I couldn't fuck with you. Like, I would be so deathly afraid, because I just see you. If you're so put together, I think that could possibly put you over the edge and you'd be like that crazy bitch.
Like,
I could see you going ape shit.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I would never date a guy who has that kind of rep. Like, I never dated guys who kind of, like, people always go, oh, you're an actress. Do you date, you know, athletes? Do you date this? I'm like, why would I date someone like that? Oh, caller. Who is it?
We've got Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Hello.
What's up, girl?
Oh, nothing. I was just listening. You know what? With the ex-family members that I had to deal with, there was cheating involved on both ends.
Uh-oh.
And so it kind of made me feel like, okay, do I even want to try and go out with a guy, or do I just want to stay single? Because in that way, I don't have to worry about if the guy is going to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you gotta be like really, really picky and careful, and not just like jump into any sort of relationship because
mm-hmm.
you never ever know.
Right.
Which is why
you can't live your life in a bubble. Like I will say this: I've been cheated on by someone back in the day, like a long time ago. But it's like I never allowed that person to change me, and I definitely didn't stop dating because I was like, that asshole, you know, I got rid of him real quick. But I didn't, I didn't really, like, change my life because then I felt like he won. And he didn't just win once. He won the second time, and he would win a third time if I continued to let him kind of change me as a person.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
mm-hmm.
are you dating someone right now, Bree?
Nope. I've always been single because of the fact that I had guys that kind of like acted like they liked me, and then when I asked them, they were like, "No, I don't like you like that." And I'm like, "Well, then why in the hell do you act like it? Why do certain things for girls that make them feel like you actually like them, and
mm-hmm.
then to be like, no, I don't like you like that." And I'm like, just be straightforward and honest from the beginning. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I want to do nice things for you, but I don't like you in that way.
Right.
It saves everybody heartache, trouble, and everything else.
Well, do you think, Bree, maybe you might be the person who's taking, like, kindness? Like, maybe someone's being nice to you, and you're making it into more than what it is? Or do you think that they really kind of put themselves in a position and they really do things that are out of the ordinary, and you're like, okay, you're confusing me?
It's to the point where the guys have been confusing because I'm like, okay, why say this or do this and then be like, oh, no, I just told you this because we're friends or whatever. I'm just like.
Mm, right.
And so I'm just like, maybe I'll just be the one girl that's just happy to be single and just have her family and friends and that's it.
I don't think that's your destiny. I think that there's someone out there who's fabulous. You just haven't met them yet. So
you just need not screw around with these people. Like,
right.
You're too much of a sweetheart. And you,
yeah.
From what I've known, I mean, the one kid, I don't know if that's who you're talking about.
So, Jeffrey, I got a question for you then. Do I have to be kind of a bitch then?
No.
Yeah.
Yes, I say no.
Like, I think you need to be like, you're fucking playing games with me. Cut the shit out or get out of my life. Like, it's this simple. Like, either, you know, you can't keep playing these games when one day it's convenient for you and the next it's not. Fuck all that noise.
I think you can say the same thing without all the F's. I just think you go like this. Look. Are you liking me in a friend way, or are you liking me in more than friend way? Because if it's a more than friend way, we need to just take our time to get to know each other. And this is what I'm telling you right now, Bree. If you tell somebody we're going to have to take our time to get to know each other, if their intentions aren't good, they don't have time to take their time to get to know you. They will run off and split quicker than quick. So then if you just say, great, I'm glad you like me because I like you. Let's take our time and get to know each other. They're going to be like, oh, hell no, I'm getting up out of here because I thought I was just going to be able to dupe this girl and get on. So if you even bring up the whole, like, let's take our time, that is the biggest turnoff for someone who doesn't have time.
Oh, okay.
And you'll get rid of the dopey ones real quick. Like, they'll disappear by that afternoon. They'll be gone doing something else.
Yeah, see, Karen's too nice.
What would you do, Jeffrey? What would you do? What would you do? What's your advice?
I would pop the motherfucker in the chops.
See, Jeffrey's gonna get you. You're gonna catch a case if you're popping people in the chops.
Like, I think it's bullshit. Like, I don't like when people play with other people's emotions. It's not cool. You know what you're doing, and it's BS. So I think she needs to stand up for herself and put her foot down and be like, uh-uh, that's a wrap. We ain't playing this game. Girl, I can send you some songs you can send this motherfucker.
Well, because the reason I was thinking that way was because you remember I told you about the one guy in, at the one event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one
I
guy
thought
at
you guys
the,
were dating. I thought you guys were dating. Like, I was, like, thinking love affair was happening while, you know,
well,
this
well,
whole time.
Well, get, well, guess what happened? The
what?
The guy, we had gone somewhere, and he was a little bit wasted, and he tried to make out with me outside the hotel, outside one of the rooms, and I'm just like, No.
Well, wait, what's the problem with
when
that?
When was this? Was it when we saw you?
Huh?
When was this? When did this happen?
Morph and Con.
Okay, wait. Was it Lieutenant Stone?
This was after the party while I had my dress on still.
Your sexy dress, by the way.
And
okay,
and
was
because,
it the guy dressed up as the cop or the other one?
Yes,
no.
Yes, him.
Oh, the guy dressed up as a cop.
That dressed
okay.
up as Lieutenant
yeah.
Stone.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen, that bitch was at this convention.
And and the thing that happened at MorphinCon that made me lose friends that I met there was because of what he did, like, of how he acted towards me to make me think that he did like me. And then
mm-hmm.
one of the other people, because of the guy,
mm-hmm.
people saw my underwear. And then one of the other
what?
People...
Wait.
Yes, seriously. You didn't tell us all this.
And then one of the other people has the nerve to bring up the fact that the people saw my underwear on a live webcast.
Oh, this is
how did your underwear get on a live webcast?
No, not seeing it, but the person like talked about it, saying that, oh, we saw Brianna's underwear and it was like this color, and I'm just like, and I kept telling the person, shut up. But apparently he didn't get it.
Oh.
And then...
I wouldn't care about that. I'd be like, yeah, that was my underwear. What, bitches? What? That's what I shut people down. I feel their thunder by not caring.
I'm just like, people don't need to know that.
People need to leave our little sweet Bree alone. Why are y'all talking about Bree's underwear? Bree, you should have told me this because I would have jacked him up.
I was like,
somebody trying to threaten to show your underwear.
It was an embarrassing moment for me, and then he had to put it out on a live webcast, and I'm just like, really, dude? And you say that you like me, but you like to nitpick on me and then do that to me? Oh, hell no.
There you go, girl. That's right. You say, oh, hell no, and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And you move on. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you moved on, because it sounds like that person was trouble, and it sounds like they don't deserve to be your friend, and it sounds like, you know, they're just a douche. I don't even know mm-hmm. any other word. Just a douche. So forget them and go on, and we're going to help you. You're going to find somebody, and it's going to be a great person. It's just you're so young, Brie. You don't even need to be worried about that. You need to be focused on, like, some of your projects and some of your charity work that you do. You need to focus on that.
That's why I plan on staying single, because then the only person I have to worry about if I choose to is just myself or
mm-hmm.
or my family and friends, and that's it. I'm like, everybody else can get kicked to the curb. Bye bye.
All right. Are you like in school right now? Or are you working? What are you doing?
I've been thinking about, like, once money gets a bit easier for me, I've thought about going back into acting classes, so
there you go. There you go. So what do you do for, like, day to day? Like, do you have a job? Do you go to school? What are you working on? You need to find something to do day to day.
You know what? I basically just take everything, like, day by day and, like, just go with the flow with things and just see how things go.
Okay, well, let's start thinking of something you can do, whether it be charity work, whether it be school, whether it be working on a career. You need to just get your mind into something productive, into something that's going to really grow you as a person. And then the next thing you know, Mr. Right will be standing right in front of you because you're such an accomplished young woman, and it'll be great. It'll be fabulous. Right, Jeffrey?
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Bree. Well, thank you for calling us. It's been interesting. I didn't even know how that stuff happened, and here we are.
I know.
We'll talk to you again soon, girl.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Girl, I wish I would have known all this shit. I'd have kicked that little boy's ass.
It was so much shit going on in WorldCon that we didn't even know about. Good Lord.
What's funny is after you left, okay, I like had gone out to go have a cigarette, and like in the foyer there was a herd of fans still hanging out at the hotel, so I'm assuming they stayed another night. Well, when we went down to the pool, they were all like having dinner, and I swear every time we walked by there was more and more people, and dude was there that she's talking about, and he was just popping off at the chops, like, saying this, that, and the other thing, and, like, bitch, I got a little inside track, so I know a little more. And he blah, 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 blah. I should have punched him in the face.
I don't even really know who that is. Like, I'm so confused, but
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. Well,
you know, like, I can remember a face. I can't remember names, but I can remember faces.
Right. Well,
and it's kind of hard to forget.
Where, like, once a douche, always a douche. Like, it just doesn't really ever get any better. You know?
Well, this was definitely a douche. And wanted the attention. For maybe something they were wearing.
Anybody who talks about an innocent girl's panties on a webcam that he didn't see and just does that to spite her, then, you know, I really think that they're a douche. You know, and they obviously want attention. Like, even negative attention. You know? So it's very interesting. And then try to kiss them, but then all the while we're kind of seeing somebody else. Like, it just sounds like he was at either one of those kids that's at the convention, and it's like summer camp. You're just trying to hook up. Like, the only reason you're there is because you're just trying to hook up with somebody. And poor Bree, she got tangled in the web of hookups. So, luckily, she's a smart girl, and she got away from that really quick, so.
That's right. Well, I'm so excited because, you know, it's almost time for Title Pending. Is Ethan here? Is Ethan already on the line?
I don't know. Title Pending, where are you?
Where's Easy? Oh, poor Easy.
Poor Easy. Well, I'm very excited about Title Pending, too, because I'm interested to see what this show is about. Like, he's got a free open slate. His show can be about anything. Like, we should have done our show called Title Pending. Especially when we had the divorce and we were robbed of our title.
Right?
We were robbed of the title and the website. That's all I was approaching a year. We're going to have a divorce party. Like, we're going to have like, an anniversary to our divorce party.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a party. We're going to do something. Like, we got to celebrate. Something's got to give.
Celebrate.
We're almost at the end of our, I don't know. It's time to celebrate.
Okay, well, let's play our theme song out because I see Easy easier. I'm not sure what's going on for him.
Are you ready for this one?
I don't either.
We say it what we want, give it to you nonstop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Okay. Ethan, are you there?
I am here. I called off the 716-434 number.
What? Oh, I know. I've got you unmuted, bitch. You're on air. Or not. What is going on? Okay.
All right. This is title pending. This is the first episode. Today I'm joined by two of my guests, Ben Jackson and Maggie Shaw.
Hey.
Maggie Shaw, that's the voice you just heard. Ben Jackson, are you able to hear us right now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Perfect, perfect. We're just waiting on Cody Butler. But thanks for joining the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
And before we get things started, I want to talk a little bit about Ben Jackson, who joined me for my birthday weekend, was there through the whole experience. And, Ben, you want to comment on what a weekend we had?
Well, you know, as birthday weekends usually go, it was a long weekend of drinking. And that's what it was. It was especially your actual birthday. I mean, I haven't got that fucked up on St. Patrick's Day, I think, in my entire life, dude. I had to forego school the next day. It was kind of rough.
Oh, that was quite evident. You, the previous night we had talked about how you had school at 11, and then I thought, geez, man, this kid's an absolute warrior. He's going to go partying the whole night out and then go to school. And then I got up around 2 o'clock the next day, so that'll show you what kind of night I had. And I look outside, and Ben's car's still there. So I kind of realized that Ben would not be coming, would not be going to school that day.
Yeah, definitely too much of a hassle to get up, get to the car, and go to school. It just wasn't going to happen with the amount that I drank. It was just not going to happen.
Maggie Shaw, you were absent for St. Patrick's Day. Can I ask what you were doing that was so much more important?
Wow, what an asshole remark, seeing as I did contact you about your birthday celebration, and you were in Fredonia for the majority of the weekend. So I was unable to celebrate with you that evening, but Sunday I was in Buffalo for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is where I spent the majority of that day and evening. And when I got home, I passed out for the rest of the night.
Hold on one second, guys. Keep this conversation going about St. Patrick's Day.
So how was
Oh, you know, it was Fredonia for you. I mean, the traditional go to John's apartment, John, Dave, and Kyle's apartment. You know, pregame way too hard, and then try to stumble our way out to the bar. Let me see what happened. I mean, you know, we went to Sonny's, which has gained a reputation as one of the shittiest bars I've been to. I mean, fuck,
oh,
I can't even order.
Always a good time, though. Always.
Always a good time. It was like I tried to order a gin and tonic. Actually, I tried to order a Bombay and tonic, and they looked at me, and this dude looked at me and was like, we don't have that. I was like, okay, no problem. I'll do a Tanqueray. He's like, we don't have that either. And he just walked away from me. Like, I didn't want to drink after that. I was kind of pissed off. But, I realized that, you know, they don't have any top-shelf liquor, but it was, other than that, you know, it doesn't take top-shelf liquor to get drunk, you know.
Absolutely. The dance floor makes that bar.
Well, I also think the amount of underage drinking makes that bar, considering I've seen people use Subway cards to get into that place.
That's true,
yeah,
too.
Pretty much, dude.
But another thing I want to talk about through my birthday weekend is It was something that crossed my mind. And you guys have been on social media, and obviously you've had birthdays, and you get just absolutely flooded with birthday, happy birthdays on Twitter and on Facebook. Now, do you guys go through every single one and like it or comment on it?
Well, you know, it's either – there's two ways to go about it. Either you just look at them without, you know, making any formal contact or, you know, any liking or thanks so much comment. But, you know, if you like one, you got to like them all. So I tend to just not like any of them.
What about you, M. Shaw?
Yeah, I guess you could go through. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I don't do either of those things. I only like a couple. I go through and favorite a couple tweets of, like, the first couple people when I'm kind of pumped about it. And I'm like, oh, wow, thanks, guys.
All right,
like,
guys.
Cool.
Well, you know
Wish
what? I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have Cody Butler in the building. It took me a while to figure this out. This new hosting thing's not really me. Cody Butler, welcome to the show, and welcome back to Western New York. What's your take?
Are you sure I'm on this time? Am I on for real?
I am 100% on this time. As I told Jeffrey, I'm good at a lot of things. Hosting a radio show is not my thing. I'm sitting here looking at the board. Man, what the fuck? Cody is our biggest guest. He's the biggest draw. I can't get him on. I'm freaking out right now. I finally got you on. The stress is over. We don't have to drag out the first 5 minutes of the show. Cody Butler, the drummer of Gunpowder Temple and the soon-to-be Lockport, New York resident, is on the show.
It's very true, Ethan. That is correct. I am returning to my territory tomorrow. Very exciting stuff.
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing.
Tomorrow?
You're in. Yeah, unbelievable. He's in Orlando, and he's coming back to Buffalo. Now, I've heard of people moving from Buffalo to Orlando, but not the opposite. What gives?
Well, let me tell you that it's not necessarily by choice. It's kind of just the circumstances of the situation. If I could pick somewhere to move in the world, I don't think Buffalo would be on the top 10 list. But nonetheless, it is my home, and I must return for some period of time. I don't know how long, but the good news is I'll be around, so we can kick it.
Okay, well, you know, speaking of kicking it, and I was thinking about this show the other day, and I was thinking, well, what the hell are we going to talk to that people can connect with? I mean, I'd love to talk about sports, but, you know, we're flooded with sports, and you can get your sports anywhere, and I got thinking about it. We're college-age kids, and we have a lot of information with that, and there's not a lot of kids our age who are doing college shows, and I thought, why don't we talk about your friendships and how they change from high school to college? Now, Cody is currently out of college, graduated. Maggie Shaw, if I'm wrong, graduated but is in grad school right now. Myself and Ben are still finishing up college. Have you guys noticed a difference in your friendships since high school to college? Maybe different friends you had that you'd never expect you had, or people you were really close with in the past that you aren't close with now? I'll start with Cody, then we'll go to Maggie, and then Ben, you close us out.
Well, I can tell you that the good friends that I have, you know, have lasted through the times. Kind of the, you know, the people who I guess I wasn't that close with, the friendship almost becomes like a caricature of what it was, just like old inside jokes from like seventh grade. And, you know, when we see each other, that's kind of all we have to talk about. I guess that's all we have in common. But, you know, the good friends stood the test of time. I still feel like those friendships are evolving. But, you know, I guess after a while, after years go by and you don't live up there anymore, you kind of just let go of it and you don't really care anymore. So, you know, E-Rad, you know how it is, right?
Well, before I let Maggie and Ben talk, the reason I started with you is because you moved across the country. And when you move, there's that natural barrier where you're not in contact with these people, so naturally you're not going to talk as much. And I wanted to see how yours changed. And I'm very similar with you, where there's some people that I'm really close with and I've remained close with through fantasy football leagues or just hitting each other up, seeing what they're doing for the weekend. And then there's other people that I was really close with in high school and middle school, and I feel like my only connection is some inside joke, and that breaks the ice. And then when we end up talking, it's just about stuff we did in eighth grade. It's never about anything current.
Yeah,
it's really uncomfortable. And I don't dislike the people, and I don't blame them either, but I certainly could feel the awkward tension. What about you, Maggie? You can bring the female perspective. I'm not sure if this is sex-specific or not. Maybe you could let us know.
I feel like I've been pretty fortunate as far as, like, good friends go. I feel like I've kept in contact with the ones I do have cared about staying in touch with. I have been able to stay in touch with. As far as, like, girls being friends with girls, it's, I feel like it's different because guys that are friends with guys, when you guys lose touch and then you just have that inside joke from middle school, you'll still say what's up and, like, break the ice of that inside joke and then, like, just let it go and move forward. But girls won't even say hi to each other. They'll just, like, stand there and stare at each other and acknowledge the fact that you both know who each other are, but you will not say hi.
Well,
I gotta say, I definitely respect that about girls, though, because it's kind of cool that we segued from me moving back home after all this time to kind of familiar faces from high school. And I gotta say, one of the things I dread the most about being home, and one of the things I love about being down here, is that I don't have to go through those awkward small talk situations with people that I don't actually really like and really wasn't friends with, but I do know who they are because I went to school with them my whole life. So that's definitely something that sucks. Like, you just go to Walmart, and I almost want to wear, like, a Halloween costume there so that I don't have to bump into, like, you know, fourth-grade teachers and things like that. You know what I mean? It's terrible. I hate it.
Well, I've been taking this female-male communication class for school, and the teacher had a good point. She said females' relationships are more intense and they're a lot closer, but guys are more long-lasting, and I thought about it, and I was actually talking to Ben about this in the car. I said, think about our friends from 7th to 8th grade. There might have been, like, one addition or one subtraction, but you've been pretty close with the same kids for that amount of time. Now look at the girls who are best friends in middle school, and they either hate each other or have no contact with each other whatsoever. And I think it's because girls' relationships are so intense, and you're together all the time, where guys, it's just, you're not really talking to each other 24/7 text, and you're not telling each other all your emotional problems. And, Ben, since I mentioned you and that, I'm going to let you hit off on that. You tell me your thoughts on the whole college, high school relationships and how they change. I mean, I guess we're the exception because I've been friends with you since I was 4.
Well, and do you remember how that started?
Our friendship?
Yeah.
Or our conversation? Or is that how our friendship started, with that conversation at 4 years old?
That was it, yeah. No. We only, you know, our friendship just started with that conversation in the car. I really hated you the past 16 years. No. But what I meant was, anyway, we met in preschool, and you pushed me off the fucking slide at the YMCA, man. Never forget that. So, you know, what a friend. But anyway, speaking to, you know, additions of friends and, you know, how friendships evolved from high school, even from middle school to high school to college, I noticed that, first of all, like, with my specific group of friends, it was always like, you know, it was like we all lived so close together, if you look at the, like, you know, the Wendy Circle area, and I don't think that's necessarily a coincidence. I feel like a lot of the girls made friends via school, where the guys just made friends as in, like, who is around them. But it's a different perspective for me, because it's like staying home, it's like you see everyone that's going away to school and whatnot, and it's like, you know, you'll always be the one that, when they come back, it's like they'll hit you up, which is cool. But at the same time, it's just like, well, you know, like, I'm still here and they're out doing their thing, I guess. But I mean, it's, for me, you know, all the people I was close with in high school, like my really close groups of friends, I'm still really close with. You know, we go for 3 months without seeing each other, and then, like you said, you say the one thing, and then it's just you're right back where you were, and you're there. But for me, it's like I don't live at the school I go to, so I'm still in Lockport, and it's like I made a lot of friends. Made a lot of friends at work, you know, and those are honestly, you know, my Mighty Taco friends are who I spend the majority of my time with, which is cool, because it's like, you know, it's a different group of friends. It's like you just keep adding, you know. You just keep adding to your social network, and I think that's a good thing.
And I think you hit on something pretty important there, and you're able, it's a skill you should really be proud of. I've kind of noticed it with you throughout the years. You're able to make friends with anybody, and I've noticed that's not always the case with a lot of my friends, which is, I'm not trying to knock them, it's just how they are. Like, I'll bring them to settings where the only person they know is me or a few other people. They're completely uncomfortable, and that's something I always admired about you, is I could bring you to a party where you don't know anyone, and you're a chameleon. And I think that's a pretty good sign for success. I know a lot of people in college are just so obsessed with GPA and getting internships and stuff like that. I said, you know, people skills at the end of the day is a really important aspect and can cover a lot of holes. And the only reason I bring this up, Ben, and you guys can attest to this, if you ever want to do it, I was talking about my friend Ben to a couple of producers of the show, and I said, yeah, I mean, if you ever look at his Facebook, you'd never hire the kid. Now, I'm looking at your Facebook, Ben, and you're either passed out high or have a beer in your hand in every single photo. Single photo. And I was laughing, because I was laughing about it. I was like, yeah, I'm sure like the first 3 or 4 or 5. And I got down to probably about 98, 99, 100 photo, and every one of them, you're passed out, high, or drunk. And I just thought it was absolutely awesome that it fit that consistently. And I thought, if I didn't know this kid and I just looked at his Facebook, I would never hire the kid. And this isn't a dig at you. I just found it absolutely hilarious.
Well, you know, thanks for the heads up. And, you know, to tell you the truth, now that I think about it, yeah, that is true for pretty much all of them. But it's like I haven't really... never really thought about it, so you know I might, you know, in the future, you know, when I grow up and get a job, you know, I might have to think about maybe deleting the old Facebook.
You know, it's funny though, because if you were to do that, you'd be going away from your identity. Because I'm just thinking about my party the other day, and it's just myself and Ben here, and I'm with my girlfriend and all these adults, and myself, Ben, and my girlfriend go get drinks, and we come back, and Ben, I don't know how he did. He's a warrior. We had gotten absolutely hammered the previous night, and we're just absolutely exhausted. So I just kind of wanted to take it easy. So I bought a UV blue, but, like, I didn't want the adults at my party to see me drinking UV blue. So
no.
They're all taking shots right there, and I got a bag covering my UV blue. And one of the guys was ragging me. He's like, what are you drinking there? And, like, I didn't want to tell him. So I kept making it sound like it was a real badass drink. I didn't want my mom to see me drinking it because she'd get pissed and think I'm getting hammered. When in actuality, I was, like, drinking the biggest pussy drink there. And Ben knew it the whole time, and he's just sitting there laughing at me when he's taking shots of Jameson, and I'm drinking UV blue covered in a bag because I'm embarrassed.
I don't think you really like UV blue.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't like a lot of drinks I drink, but I usually do it as a joke. Like, you were with me the one time.
No, I know. I think you drink
it
ironically because I know it's horrible, and it's for, like, eighth graders, but I think you drink it ironically. Because of how much of a pussy drink it is, it's just hilarious to go to a bar. Like, me and you, we ordered UV Blue from the bar. Like, that's so much worse to pay for it at a bar.
Well, every time I go to the bar at 21st Amendment, I always order Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I'm starting to think they think I actually like it. So I'm just like, let me get the usual, and I get a fucking Mike's Hard Lemonade. People are looking like, why is that kid drinking it? And it's terrible, but it's just like an inside joke that's kept going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can I ask you a question, Ethan, that I think everyone might be wondering? I don't know if they are or not. I hope they are, because I know I am.
Yeah.
How did you get this show?
Well,
I think your audience would really like to know how you ended up with this show.
I'll tell you what, that is a good question, and I can only thank Karen Ashley, who was a former Power Ranger, and Jeffrey Emmerich, who is the producer of the show. Last year, I... send in my internship. I wanted to intern for them. I mean, I sucked as an intern, but I kind of got lucky. They were looking to expand their brand, and Jeffrey tweeted out something about him being insecure about not being funny. And I tweeted back, you know, anything Jeffrey says can be interpreted funny because Jeffrey says it. But if someone like me says it, it's not funny. They liked the tweet or favorited the tweet, and I got a text from Jeffrey asking if I wanted to do a show with him and his cousin. His cousin didn't want to do it. I said I'd still be doing it, and here we are now. I mean, I guess I just kind of got lucky there, and I thank my lucky stars for them helping me out. But yeah, I guess it was that luck of the Irish born on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I guess
so. One of the things I want to talk about today with you guys, because you guys have a great sense of humor, and you guys have a realistic perspective of how douchey our generation can be. And I was looking through Ben's Facebook photos, and not that Ben's Facebook photos are douchey. And
hey.
I'm thinking, like, man, why do I have Facebook? It annoys the hell out of me. It's the first thing I look at in the morning, and I just look at these statuses and these photos, and I get pissed off. I'm just like, why do I have this site? And I credit Cody and Maggie for getting rid of it, but why was the reason, Cody, I'll start with you, Maggie, then Ben. Ben, you still have it. Obviously, I still have it. We'll talk about it. Why did you two get rid of it? And Ben, do you like it or you dislike it? What annoys you with it? And then I'll talk about why I hate it so much. Cody, go ahead. Why did you get rid of yours?
Well, first of all, I felt like I was completely addicted to it. I was checking it compulsively, like it was like smoking crack. I would just have it open on my phone, I would just be scrolling through, not really reading, just like sitting there brain dead. And I got so sick of seeing things about people's lives that I don't even know. Because when you have like, you know, 500 or 700, whatever friends, the normal amount that most people have, you know, like you just, there's all these people that you're not supposed to know things about them. Like I'd find out people are like having kids, but I wouldn't find out the right way. And I would just know it. You know what I mean? Like they never told me, no one that they know told me. I just read about it. And I thought it was weird. And when I came home for Christmas, this past December, I went into one of the bars and like someone came up to me and they kind of like knew everything I was doing in a weird way, but like I hadn't talked to them in so long. So there was nothing to talk about. And I just thought that was really strange. And I just kind of wanted to be off the grid in that way. Like, obviously, I keep my Twitter. I love Twitter. It's great because you only see what you follow, so you kind of just you take your pick of the litter. But I don't know, man. I just couldn't take it anymore. It was too lame for me. I wanted no part of it. And I honestly feel better, like emotionally and just more less stressed out by not having it because it would annoy me that much.
I'm on the same boat as you, Maggie. Now you dumped yours a while ago, and I'm not sure if it was for job reasons. You're in the same boat as Cody, but would you mind telling us why?
That was, that was initially why. When did I get rid of mine? I want to say... Well,
you obviously
like,
don't miss it because you haven't been back.
I want to say 2 years ago, because it was when I got my first... when I was looking to get my first internship in my undergrad, and that's initially why I got rid of it, because basically my advisor scared me into deleting it, at least temporarily, while I was looking for accounting internships. So that's initially why. But what Cody said, that statement you just made about it being stressful, is exactly, I couldn't describe that better. That is exactly what I felt like every time I was on it. It was stress and the drama, I could not deal with it. Like, it got so, I felt like I was involved in the drama that had nothing to do with me. That's how, like, stressful I feel like Facebook is when you're friends with 500 people that you aren't even socially, like actually socially connected with. You just feel like you're involved in their drama and it has absolutely nothing to do with you. And you do know everything about everyone's lives. And then it almost like consumes you. And then sometimes I would find myself being like, oh yeah, did you see this? Did you hear about this? And I would be like, oh my God, no, why am I even talking about this? So I feel like I didn't like, I don't know. I felt like that
it's like you're not supposed to know.
Right, like I didn't, and that's not me, and I don't like to talk about things or people like in that way. So I was just kind of like, no, this has got to end. And it's been 2 years now, and I haven't missed it at all. And again, the Twitter, I love Twitter too, so I feel like that is much more. You have much more control, and the pictures. That's really why I deleted it for job purposes. Is because when I actually started going through it, and I'm like, oh, maybe I can just clean it up. I'm like, holy crap, there's so much stuff on here. There's just no point. I just need to get rid of the whole thing.
Big Ben, you are still on Facebook. You're not really an active user. I don't know how often you're on it, but you're not posting every 5 minutes. What's your take on it? Do you like it? Do you get annoyed? Is it something you'd want to delete, but at the same token, you'd probably be back anyway? What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I think if I did delete it, I don't think I'd come running back because I just don't think that anyone, I don't see how anyone could miss it that much, honestly. But, you know, I guess I have kind of a theory, and I think every social networking I think it has an expiration date. I mean, just look at all the stuff, even when we were in high school and even in middle school. You got, you know, MySpace, then there was fucking LiveJournal. There's just so many, and those are obvious. Those are so far gone now, and it's funny to go back and look at those pictures. But you know, everything has an expiration date. It's like I feel like Facebook. Facebook has been the biggest of like any social network ever, and it's just blown up so fast and has so much. Like everyone had a Facebook. You know what I mean? So it's like you had to. You know, everyone got one, so now, you know, people still have them. But what I hate is just to see there's so much, because like Cody and Maggie said, it's like, you know, you have 500-some-odd friends, which obviously means that you're not literally friends with. I mean, you're probably not even friends with the majority of the people that you're friends with.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
You're right. You know, I'm sorry, but no. And so it's like you see these people who, you know, they start posting these statuses, and you're like, why the fuck would I ever accept them as one of my friends? It's like, especially when you see, and this goes, this could even go for Twitter too. But like Cody and Maggie said, you have a lot more control over. You can, you know, you can choose to, you know, who you follow, what you want to see. But it's like people who have like Facebook like wars and stuff, and like just want to talk shit over Facebook about anything. It could be, you know, personal drama. It can be, you know, the Miami Heat's current streak, and you know how everyone hates LeBron James or everyone likes Kobe. It's just like, and you see these statuses, and people like get so into it, and then it's just like, dude, you're wearing yourself out for no reason. Like, it doesn't matter. You're like, I don't understand why people allow themselves to become worked up about other people's statuses, because, and this kind of goes to Cody's point, if you didn't have a Facebook, you wouldn't know it, and you wouldn't, and it'd be a whole lot less stressful. So, and honestly, in this little monologue that I've given, I might have convinced myself to actually delete my Facebook.
That's great.
But I'll tell you what, I'm a unique Facebook user, and so I post statuses probably maybe once a day, maybe two times every 3 days or something like that, and they're usually long statuses about a life scenario or something that happened, just because I thought it'd be an experience worth sharing. But over the times I've been checking my Facebook, and I get highly annoyed by these patterns I see. I mean, the self-promoter, I can't really hate on, because I think that's something we all do to a certain respect, and we like the positive reaction we get, like when, oh, I just got a 4-0 and get some of the likes. But, I mean, some of the ones I hate, and this is just me being nitpicking, is the person who likes everything. I'll see a status about going to take my dog for a walk, and I'll see someone like that. I'm just like, what is your motive to like that? Or my favorite is, I've seen, there's couples I've seen who are together, and I'll see an ex like that photo, and I always make fun of this, but I'm like, why would in the world would you like that? You're like, who are you fooling?
That's a good point. People, I mean, you have like a persona online of like what you can say and do, and obviously you're not really doing it, so you kind of take some leeway with it. And it's just, people just post too much stuff, like stuff that like, not only do you not care about, but you just like, you shouldn't even know. Like sometimes people really use Facebook as like their therapy, and they like vent their life on it and like their feelings. And it's just like, whoa, like you went too far. Like you need to get a, you know, like a counselor or something to talk to. Like this is,
you know,
this is ridiculous.
That's always been my objective with Facebook, is I want to post something, and this is just me being a huge egomaniac, people not even caring, but I want to post something different. I don't want to post about a daily activity I'm doing or what movie I'm seeing, because people don't care about that. I'd rather try to say something funny or something thoughtful, and this is kind of the sick part of how egotistical I get. I'll post something that I think's funny, and I'll get like 2 or 3 likes on it. And then I'll see someone post, like, some sad Adam Sandler quote that I think is the corniest shit I've ever heard. And I'll see 30 likes on it, and I just go absolutely mad. I'm just like, is this what, like, is funny to people these days? Like, fart jokes and penis jokes? Is that how you get a mass audience? People find you funny? And it drives me nuts. And I have no reason to get mad about that. I'm doing exactly what Ben did, but it drives me nuts. But the only thing that drives me more nuts, and it's not only happened to me, I've seen it happen to plenty of people, and you guys have kind of mentioned yourself in the past, is the people who you aren't really close with but you associate with on social media, and they'll bring up a status or a tweet you had that you remember tweeting it but very vaguely, and you wonder, if I barely remember that, how the hell do they remember that? It's just one of the creepiest things I've ever seen.
Dude, it's horrible because sometimes you get in the situation where, you know, you'll say something, and this has happened to me before, that's how I know it. I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people, but you'll write something on Twitter maybe, and someone thinks, and I absolutely hate this, but someone thinks that you're quote-unquote subtweeting them, okay?
Oh,
and then they
God,
get
yeah.
They get internally pissed at you for something that you said that you weren't even directing it at them at all, but they like, it's just like this whole unspoken feeling of just, I don't know, it's horrible. I hate it so much. The subtweeting thing is so annoying, and I love when people subtweet and then they call out that they're subtweeting. Like they'll hashtag
oh
it as a subtweet.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's
it's
like
so
girls.
Not,
that's it's
yeah,
mostly
oh,
girls
yeah.
trying to turn Twitter into Facebook, and it makes me so mad because
yeah.
it's them trying to bring the drama back into the Twitter, and they're like, subtweet, yeah, sorry, not sorry.
Oh.
And I'm like, stop it now.
If you guys ever had someone call you out for you not following them?
No. Luckily,
in
no.
In person
no.
or on Twitter?
Not on Twitter. I don't think anyone has those balls. But I apologize to all the people listening, which is probably one or two of you who I don't follow. But I get my friends like, hey man, I follow you. Why don't you follow me? And I get kind of a dick about it. I'm just like, you know, man, I don't really care that you're walking your dog or that you're going to see a movie or that you studied hard for an exam. I only follow people that I have an interest in what they say. I mean, I follow you guys because I think you guys say some compelling stuff. But I have some friends who are awesome people, and I love them to death, but they don't say anything that's worth reading to me. And it's absolutely boring. And I've had people say, well, I follow you, why can't you follow me? And my thing is, I just don't like what you have to say. It's not interesting to me. Maybe that's a dick thing to do, and I could just follow them and probably just scroll down whenever they tweet, but I'd rather them let them know that the reason I don't follow them is because what they say is boring.
Right.
And the thing is about Twitter is that, like, it's almost for our generation, it's like the daily paper. So it's like you want to read what you want to read. When you're going through the paper, you're going to read the columns you want to read. So it's the same idea with Twitter. You follow who you want to follow. That's why you have that ability. That's the same thing that annoys me is when I hate when people are like, they'll post something and be like, five people just unfollowed me, and then like post something about, like, I don't care that you five people just unfollowed me. And I'm like, yeah, nobody cares because you obviously weren't tweeting anything that had any significance to them, so they don't care and they unfollowed you. Nobody's going to feel bad for you because you just lost five followers.
Apparently
go ahead, Ben,
care.
And Cody, then I'll go.
I was going to just throw in something quick. It was just like, apparently, you know, you say, I don't care, you unfollowed me. Well, you cared enough to tweet about it, so what does that say?
Right, exactly. I don't know. I can't take it on Twitter. It's just like before... I think people really take it personally. I think I might do that myself sometimes because I always felt like if someone followed me, I owed it to them to follow them back. But I did that so many times, suddenly my Twitter feed was no longer like musicians who I like to follow up on or bands or like wrestlers, whatever it is that I'm into that I like to follow up on. Now it was just Facebook all over again. So now I don't care. Like if you're going to follow me, that's your choice because you want to read what I have to say, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to give you that back because I might not care. And I really think that Twitter is good for those type of people that actually have interesting lives that are like, you know, that do something cool. I almost feel lame myself, like posting a lot of stuff because it's like, well, no one really cares about this. You know, I have like 200 followers. Like, I almost feel like in a way you should have to have a certain status to even have one because it's just, it's getting flooded to the point of, it's getting Facebook-like elements to it as of late, I feel like.
Well, Cody, you said something very interesting that, like, you almost feel like these people wouldn't care. And my thought is they must care a little bit if they continue to follow you and you don't follow them. I know you and me, we have, like, kind of a witty banter about that stuff where we act more important than what we actually are. But you used to get pissed at me because I wouldn't follow you.
Well, dude, think about it, though. You're like, I know you think what I say is interesting. Like, you're having me on your radio show. Like, you not following me, that actually did piss me off.
Well, it's the reason why I did it, and I probably shouldn't be admitting this. You are a very talented person, and you don't really have a big ego, but you like to present it that way in a funny manner, which was by the last time I had you on this radio show, I let Maggie and Ben talk, and then, like, we ran out of time, so you conveniently couldn't talk, because I think it's funny to, like, put that ego down, even though it's kind of a false ego, and you're actually a humble guy. And I wanted to see how long I could drag out not following you until you absolutely lost it and didn't follow me. Then when I saw you weren't following me, my ego kicked in, then I followed you, then I noticed 5 minutes later you followed me.
I followed you back,
funny process.
That was very, very feminine of us to do that.
Well,
extremely.
Speaking of feminine, this was, I hope you guys are on the same page as me. Maggie, I don't know how much you can relate to this, but you can definitely tell from the other perspective. I'm taking this female-male communication class, and It's tough for some of the guys to speak up because they don't want to come across as old school. And my perspective is we have to be honest with ourselves. And if we're sitting there trying to ask kiss the other side, we're not going to get anything done. And the topic came up, how do you guys feel about your girlfriend cheating on you? And I raised my hand and I said, well, you know, I mean, I don't think I'd really care, like, if she hooked up with another girl. Like, I'd be an opportunist and think, like, man, this is not that bad. You know, we can add some more opportunities into the equation. We got another slot receiver there. But I would be pissed if she hooked up with another guy. And the teacher's like, you would have no problem with your girlfriend hooking up with another girl. I said, absolutely not. Like, I think that'd be awesome. And all the girls were, like, absolutely disgusted with that. And one of the guys raised his hand. I don't know if he actually believed this or he was just trying to get some goodwill with the women. He said, I would be so mortified that my girl hooked up with another girl because what we had in that relationship wasn't real. Now, I want to ask you, Cody, you're currently dating a woman. If you found out she hooked up with another girl, would you be upset? Would you not care? Would you care less if you hooked up with another girl opposed to another guy?
First of all, that guy's bullshitting. He's trying to score points with the ladies in the class.
Second of all,
I definitely wouldn't care if it was a chick. I would be just like you, be the ultimate opportunist in that situation and try to take advantage of that. Unless, of course, it was a busted chick, then I might be a little disappointed in her, but I wouldn't be mad and I wouldn't feel like my heart was broken because she did that. The question I want to pose, though, you never hear about this situation. What would happen if, you know, I cheated on my girlfriend with another dude?
Well, that's what I was going to have Ben answer. Our version of the question, I was going to have Maggie bring that up because that question was posed in class. Ben, I'm going to let you take this. You're dating a girl, hypothetically, and I know it's really out there right now, and she cheats on you with another girl. Do you even care? I mean, are you upset? What's your deal?
I would have to say that I would not, you know, I can't. No, hell no, I wouldn't be upset. I mean, and now it'd be a different story if, like, you know, it legitimately turned into, like, something. It turned into a relationship. But, I mean, you know, if she's, like, first of all, if she, like, am I from her or am I finding it out from someone else?
You're finding it out because she posted a video of her hooking up with the other chick and sent it to your phone.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's awesome. But then, like, you know, I guess I might be a little... Maybe just like a tad, like, hey, like, why would you post that video? Like, you know, if you want to show me that video, that's totally cool. But I mean, I can't say I would be upset. I think, like you said, it'd be a very opportune thing. It's like, hey, you want to do it again? But, like, maybe can I be there? And if it doesn't turn into, like, a lesbian actual relationship, that's an A-plus in my book.
Mags, let's reverse this. What happens if, I mean, you're dating Patrick. What if you find out he goes and has a slumber party with one of the guys you went to high school with and it gets a little more physical than you expected?
Oh, God. That is totally not the case.
Well, I know that's not the case.
No, of course.
I'm saying that's totally, like, my answer is totally not, that's totally opposite. If
yeah, I think,
like,
it would be.
It's not okay. Because, I mean, in a guy's case, that's, like, girls, I don't know. I feel like girls, I guess guys can be bisexual too, but I feel like more cases than not, I don't know if I want to generalize that either, but more cases than not, if a guy hooks up with a guy, he only likes guys. Whereas if a girl hooks up with a girl, there are so many cases where girls hook up with girls, but they still like guys.
True. I completely agree with that. Now, another thing I was thinking about the other day, and if you guys really don't have a lot of answers for it, feel free to tell me, but when you're at college, are there certain people and certain archetypes, people you see that you are just absolutely annoyed with, and you're like, you know what, I can't wait for college to get over with because these are the worst people I've ever seen?
Did you just enter a cave?
Yes.
I hear some wicked echo on your voice. But to answer your question, I would say dubstep kids.
Dubstep kids? That's kids that drive you nuts?
Yeah, dubstep kids. Just kids who just love just doing drugs every weekend and just, like, getting drunk and really have nothing going for them in life. They have really no skills whatsoever. They're not really working towards anything. They're kind of just floating along. And I hate to say dubstep kids because that kind of puts down a whole genre of music. It just happens to be generally what they're into these days. I'm sure in a couple of years when the next fad comes along, these same kids will be described with a different genre of music, but right now we can just call them dubstep kids.
Well,
and they smell.
We should add a precursor when you say that, too, that you went to a music school, so you're more inclined to run into these type of kids. Now, when you mention those kids, I always picture those kids as kids who never really made it into college. Kids just kind of hung around the hometown and did drugs, but I will agree, when I come home and I see that sort of kid, I do get kind of annoyed, like, what the hell is your deal? This is garbage music. Don't promote this. You need to put an end to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not so much the music that I even disagree with. Like, obviously, I don't listen to that or like it, but I can understand why someone might. It's really more the lifestyle that the kids choose to lead that I kind of disagree with, and it's sad to watch, because I've experienced some of it firsthand down here, and it's really just, it's depressing. It's all superficial, and I'm just not a fan of it.
Maggie, what about you? I know you lived at home for a little bit, but, I mean, you've seen your fair share of college kids.
Like, you're asking what group of kids I would find annoying?
Not even group, but, yeah. Like, when you walk onto a college campus, it ruins your month. It's your Friday. You're excited to go out with the girls, excited to get drunk. And you see this person in your classroom, or you see this person walking down smoking a cigarette. What drives you absolutely nuts?
Oh, I know. Okay. Going to, like, not a top sports school, I hate, like, the athletes that go to D3 schools, and they play D3 sports, and they think that they play at a D1 level, and they run everything, and they think they're so talented and awesome at what they do, and they walk around and flaunt like they're the greatest thing walking around, and they're so, like, stupid. They don't know anything, okay. And then when you're in a class with them, they don't know the answers to anything. And when they're called on, they're just like they'll talk and be rude and loud and obnoxious, and then a teacher calls on them to answer something, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay, I'm going to we have a guest on right now, surprise guest, Mr. Patrick Quast. Patrick, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Patrick, I don't know if you were listening the last couple of seconds. We were talking about on college campuses those people that absolutely drive you nuts. Now, you're a little bit removed from the college scene, but you were in grad school and did a little teaching. Is there anyone that you reflect on when you look back and you think, that person or that archetype of person drove me absolutely nuts?
I'm going to echo what Maggie said, actually. I mean, I agree with the – I mean, I did play
D3. You're
D3
athlete. You can't do that.
Yeah. I'm gonna narrow it down and say that it's not just all D3 athletes, because I think at any level of athletics you're going to find your douchebags, but – I think the one for me that really just is frustrating beyond all measures is the athlete who participates solely in club sports, and particularly the worst one is lacrosse, for my own recollection. The lacrosse bro is one that, unfortunately, just has really no place for me on a college campus. The idea
I agree with you. Keep going.
The constant stick carrying, the
whole mass
of high socks with sandals, I don't really see when that impromptu game breaks out. And even if it does, you don't have the footwear to be prepared. So that one is one that's particularly frustrating. It's a lot of them come from really well-off backgrounds. They have parents who are generally both working, as lacrosse is not necessarily a cheap sport. They have a lot going for them, but yet they all try and be bigger and badder than they really are. And it's like, you know, it's not necessarily that they are better than anyone, but if they definitely just portray that and they put that attitude out there for anyone and everyone to see. So that to me is the one that really blows my mind, because especially at a Division III level, I mean, lacrosse is nowhere near the popularity of any of the four major sports. Or really is it recognized even on an Olympic level. So it's not even relevant every 4 years. It's something that is slowly gathering speed and popularity, but it's when people talk about being, you know, a lax bro and I have all these great things going for me, it's like, dude, the most famous lax person that people can think of is going back to Duke lacrosse. I mean, and granted, that's a whole different form of a terrible scenario, but that's the most famous lacrosse player that you have. And it really does bring down the idea of, because I've met some lacrosse players, my brother's played lacrosse, but I would have to say that the lax throw to me is the one that really blows my mind, and just there's no place for it on a college campus.
Well, I kid you not, and Ben can back me up on this, Mag and Cut. I don't know if you guys were still around at that point, but there was a kid we went to high school with. Now, not a bad kid, but the lacrosse thing really got to his head. I kid you not, I'd get out of school sometimes, see the shirt off, leaning up against the car, blaring some Lil Wayne, twirling the lacrosse ball around. And like, it was 1980s, like that's the cool guy, but 2013, that translates quite smoothly to douchebag, and it was just unreal that you would even see that in this time and day, and that he just would not realize that it just doesn't really fly.
Dude, I'm so glad that Pat called in and brought that up, because that I was so thinking of that for high school, how much it annoyed me, the lacrosse players, how they would wear their pinnies and, like twirl the stick in the hallway. Like, what if I was just, like, in full football pads running down the hallway, like, knocking people over? I had ice skates on, and I'm, like, skating down with a hockey stick. Like, how does that work? You know what I mean? They're so, like, oh, I just hate them. They're,
you know how you
so
one-up
lame.
That? You bring the bowling ball as you're a bowler and just bowl down the halls as kids are walking.
Yeah,
that'd
be awesome. That'd be hilarious. Dude, you could just take a basketball and just dribble through the halls with your jersey on.
Could you imagine getting in your boxing gear and just knocking kids the fuck out on their way to class?
Hell yeah. You got to come out with the robe. You got to bring a boombox and come out the Eye of the Tiger.
Ben, what about you? You went to actually a big university, so you've seen the D1 athletes up close. I'm not sure if you have a vendetta against them or if you respect them, but you have a pretty good perception on them. What drives you nuts?
Well, before we get into that, I just want to say, you know, in your example, in the kid's defense, all of his friends were in college. What was he supposed to do? But
okay,
anyway.
Ben, here, don't use any names, but can you tell our audience that story so they can relate to it? Because I think that's something we could all enjoy. And set it up nicely so we know what kind of person we're dealing with here.
Well, you know I always set it up nicely, first of all. But so there's a, you know, high school lunch. You sit with the kids you want to sit with mostly, but there's always the one kid who kind of sneaks in there. You know, and he's like, well, you're not going to tell him to leave, but, like, you know, he kind of wish he wasn't there. Anyway, so this happens to be the same cool guy we were talking about. And I wasn't there for this actual thing, but I've heard the story so many times, and it's wonderful. So, you know, I'll just sit down. It's one of the first days of school. And, you know, this kid was just, he just thinks he's so cool. Because, you know, he hung out with all the older kids, so he has to be cool, you know?
Naturally.
And so he's just, you know, sitting there at the lunch table. All the other kids, you know, we're just, you know, just having a good time, just, like, talking. And we're, you know, having lunch, whatever. And he's just looking around, just has this kind of sad look on his face. And he just lets out a sigh and just, oh. And, you know, someone's like, the obligatory, oh, what's wrong, dude? Like, I mean, I guess I'll ask this question, even though I don't really give a fuck. Well, so what's wrong, man? Oh, man, all my friends are in college, man. And it's just like, oh, you know, poor you. You know what I mean? You understand, this is the same kid that said, dude, I'm so glad I have a girlfriend. If I didn't have a girlfriend, I'd have, like, so many STDs right now.
Oh, my. I think I now know who we're talking about.
I don't know who we're talking about, but I'm really looking forward to meeting this guy because he's...
Pat, the stories don't ever end. We had a whole night at one of my buddies' house drinking beers, exaggerating on some of his comments. Like, don't get me wrong. His intentions aren't bad, but the abrasiveness to brag about himself is just unreal, and it makes you uncomfortable, and you don't think it's real. Like, you think it's just him putting on a facade to be funny. Until you realize he's being dead serious.
He's just that cool.
Oh, my God. How do I not know who we're talking about?
You
right
do
now?
Know who we're
yeah,
talking
no
about.
Idea.
You know. You definitely
you
know.
Know.
I
and,
know.
I'll tell you what.
I don't.
A
I was
going to
say, I'll give a hint. It rhymes with Rook Lanky.
Of course he gets brought up on Ethan's show, though, because Ethan has a personal vendetta against him because whatever you said his name was replaced Ethan as the starting quarterback on NFL Net Modified Football.
Well, in my defense, I was the worst quarterback of all time in
That's
Modified
true.
Football. But I always tell people, I was the worst quarterback ever. I scored a touchdown. I still hang that above my friend's head, but Modified Football was the best time of my life because you'd hear so many, like, life lessons that you look back now and you're like, what the hell was he talking about? He was nowhere accurate at all. We had a coach tell us, and I swear to God, when you hear the story, you're not going to believe it. He's a 70-year-old guy. He's old school. He tells us that they're having an average season. Also, the number one team in the nation comes, having a lot of touchdown all year. Number one team in the nation gets off the bus. It's snowing. His team does a snow angel in the snow. Other team gets absolutely intimidated and end up blowing out the number one team in the nation, all because they did a snow angel in the snow. And his point was that you got to set the intimidation before their team gets off the bus.
Oh, God, I remember that. He was a great guy.
Doing snow angels is like the epitome of toughness. So.
Oh, totally.
He also told us that he played on two broken legs. Now, I don't know if any of you guys are doctors, but one broken leg is tough to walk on. Two is impossible.
Very true.
Not if you're a man.
Yeah, right? Ethan, you can probably – I'm sorry to cut you off, but you can probably relate to this. I mean, we look back at those times in such glorious light, like times when we were all together playing sports, because I think you can definitely relate to this. When you're a kid and you love sports, you kind of want to play sports, you know, for your whole life. You think it's what you're going to do, and then you – grow up and you get older and you're really not that good and you kind of get into other things. And now we're at the point in our lives when we really could never play professional sports. Like, we've passed that time limit. I think it's kind of depressing.
You know what's really depressing about, like, if you watch, like, any professional sports, like, you're a kid, you get, like, kids who are younger than you and they're playing pro sports, you're like,
Oh, that's
man,
the worst. Yeah, that's what I mean. We're getting to that age where, like, people that are doing really awesome shit in their lives, they'll be younger than us, and I feel like I've, like, fell behind. Like, there's kids going in the NBA when they're 18. I'm already 21. I haven't done anything close to being in the NBA. I'm nowhere near that accomplishment level. I got to fucking catch up, man.
It makes me quite insecure, so, like, I try to put them down. Like, I didn't have the advantages of that kid who had one family member and family made $10,000 a year. But if I would have had that hunger, I probably would be in the pros. But my parents kind of babied me, so that's why I'm hanging out in college.
Well, yeah, you never had the passion or the drive that kid would have, because that's his only way to survive, is to get into college for basketball or get drafted out of high school and make money that way. I mean, he has every odd set against him, so I think you might have a point. As stupid as that sounds when you said it, I think it actually makes sense.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pat, he played some pickup ball with me in college, and he's seen kids like that who weren't talented but still had that drive and still thought that there were scouts watching from the stands at a pickup ball game in intramurals or something like that.
Scouts. No, there weren't scouts sitting there. There were sneaker deals lining up. There was an agent there. There was a multitude of individuals just waiting to sign these people up into long-term guaranteed money contracts, because they had the ability to knock down 2 out of 14 three-pointers. So they were there were special individuals all the way across the board in terms of that pickup ball.
You guys ever played intramural sports where a kid wanted to hold practices?
No, thank God.
I have not.
I had that pleasure last semester. Played, and we sucked, and I wanted to get on a team. Didn't really know a lot of kids who played there, because I hadn't been going there frequently. And we lost the first game, and the kid wanted to have practices, and I wasn't really out of my place to tell him no. So I actually went to a practice, and it was just 30 minutes of just doing layups and, like, talking about dunks the other night and how, like, dunks could make the difference. It was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, but I didn't have the balls to say, like, hey, guys, I played in high school. This isn't really how it's done. This is ridiculous. So I just kind of went along with it and realized this is just absolutely I hate this so much. I ended up quitting the team. I had to tell them that I had to work all the time. But I guess another thing, to get back to what we were talking about, people I hate in college, is now I understand there's people who are self-righteous and they're actually good people and hold bad people in line, but I had a girl in my class who was just so oblivious and so cross the line, which is completely stupid. So we're talking about homosexuality in class and, like, how people are against it. Now, granted, I have nothing against it whatsoever, and I've always been pro-gay marriage. I thought it's a great thing, and I don't know why they should be denied that opportunity. Ben, you know the story. So one of the girls said, why would people hate people because of their sex? And I said, well, I don't think really they hate people because of them liking the same sex. I think it's because back in the day, the point was to procreate, and homosexuality goes against that and doesn't allow for evolution to take place. So thus, gay people can't have kids. This girl gets up, screams at me, says, what the fuck does that mean, gay people can't have kids? Have you ever heard of adoption? And my point was, gay people can't reproduce. I didn't mean, like, gay people can't raise kids. But I didn't even feel like correcting her because I realized it was a lost cause. But it was just one of those things where I just was absolutely stunned that she misinterpreted that way and was just so offended that I said that.
Dude, that's so ridiculous. You made a perfectly valid point about how times have changed, you know what I mean? Like, back in the day, you know, people had slaves. Back in the day, women were confined to a kitchen. But, I mean, think about it, dude. The way technology has advanced and society has progressed forward, the human, you know, people have evolved in such a way that we could have never predicted because our circumstances and our surroundings, no one ever expected the things to happen that have. So, I mean, the course has changed a little bit. And I think that, you know, who cares if two dudes want to get married? I mean, marriage sucks if you're straight or gay. Let them suffer. Who cares?
You know, it's funny you say that because I was talking to some friends the other day, and you'll notice on Facebook the kids that you graduate, Pat, I'm sure you definitely notice this trend since you're a few years older, but people your age are getting married and having kids. And I was talking to my mom, I was like, I could never see myself within the next 12 months getting married or having kids. I don't know what your guys' take on that is, but it seems like it's coming a little too fast. I'll let Cody start. Pat, you're pretty informed with this. Ben and then Maggie, I'll let you guys speak. What you think about coming up on that? Are we just the generation where things are going to happen a little bit later? Or do we just happen? It's so sensationalized when you see someone getting married or having kids that it's brought to your attention. Or what's your take on that?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's sensationalized at all. And I actually, ironically, was just talking to my mom about this past weekend. And I actually said that when I see people my age or younger getting married or having children, I feel like they're throwing their entire life away. And obviously, I'm very cynical and tend to put a negative light on a lot of things, but I mean, that's kind of what my parents did, and they had no chance to live out their life or go after their dreams in any way. They were just burdened with responsibility right out of the gate, and I don't think they were ready for it, and it made them grow up. And I hate to like bring them into this, but I just feel like I'm really selfish at this point in my life. Like, I want to do things. I want to make my dreams come true and go after that stuff. And as much as I'd like to have a child, I wouldn't want to do that until I'm satisfied with my own life, first of all, and I feel like psychologically I'm grown up enough to handle it, and financially I can handle having a child without having to struggle. And I think that's the responsible way to look at it, and also, like I said, the selfish way as well. But that's my take on it personally.
No, I completely agree. Like, if I were to have a kid right now, I would not be financially responsible. My fun years would not be out of the way of me, and I'd screw up a lot. Maggie, I'm going to let you feel this. You have the woman's perspective. I'm not sure if it's any different, but could you see yourself getting married or having kids within the next 2 or 3 years?
No, not at all. I feel the same way. I feel like it's a selfish decision until you are financially ready and until you have done what you wanted to do. Because, I mean, in my perspective, like, if I were to be a mother, I would not want to be responsible for someone else until I felt like I could give them everything like they could ever possibly want. And I know that in 2 or 3 years, I will not be in a position to do that. So I feel like it's selfish to make that decision abruptly. I feel like people that are getting married who are our age or having kids, I feel like a lot of times the having children and getting pregnant, it's not planned, first of all. And second of all, the whole marriage thing, I feel like a lot of kids, if you think about it, that are our age, they're doing it, they like jump into it. They're like madly in love. They're like, yeah, let's do it, blah, blah, blah. And they just like rush into it, and they just don't think about, like, you want it to be like the best day of your life. So you want everybody to be there. You want it to be a huge, happy celebration. Like, wait. Like, just wait for it to be the right time. Wait for it to be, like, you to have enough money to throw, like, the biggest, best party you could ever think to throw. Don't be like, you know what I mean? I just feel like everybody rushes everything. It's not.
I agree. We have a minute 30. Pat, if you could do about 45 seconds. Ben, you could do about 45 seconds in your take. Pat, you go first. 45 seconds, please.
The thing that I'm going to say is that when people are getting married, unfortunately, it's looked at as a they didn't really realize that you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life. And the big thing with our generation is, and I've seen this just from teaching and things, that when there's an obstacle in the way, rather than work through it, they just wait until it gets removed. And with marriage, you really don't have that option. You have to work through it. You have to be willing to compromise. You have to be willing to adjust. And people nowadays, they just don't want to do that. They don't have it in them to really step back and say, okay, we're going to work through this. I want to be in this for the rest of my life. So it's unfortunate because the kids are the ones that end up suffering.
Good point. Ben, you got 45 seconds. Close us out, and then we'll get ready for next week.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's just, Maggie, I think, hit the nail right in my head. I mean, it's like you can't, it would be just so, you know, in my personal opinion, it's like, just what Maggie said, it's like, if I have a kid, I want to be able to give him or her, like, everything that he needs to succeed. And it's like, you're cheating them out of the life that you want to give them if you have a kid. And I understand, like, you know, there's some, you know, sometimes there's accidents and people have religious beliefs and, you know, all the other things. But, you know, ideally, like, going back to the St. Patrick's Day, it was like, you know, sitting in there with